Alleluia.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Go to the citadel of the sea, we can get up and just worship. Hallelujah. What a wonderful morning it has been, and what tremendous blessing. The tributes, I must tell you, that have been echoed throughout this service this morning is just washed over me, just washed me. And I'm sure every man that is in the audience and every man that is for these tributes have felt the blessings of God, and there's a sense of appreciation that as fathers we have when we are recognized. Sometimes it feels like we take second place when it comes to Father's Day versus Mother's Day, but in essence, really, we don't mind it a lot because we have just learned and grown to learn to put our wives or mothers first. That's the sacrifice that men make. You know, we put others before ourselves. And we learn that from God our Father through Jesus Christ, of learning to put others first. And so to receive it this morning, to me, it's very refreshing. It is especially a blessing to me to hear so many people honor their fathers and in the way that you have. And I'll explain that later because it's especially a blessing for me to hear that. And I'll tell you why later on. And yes, Sister Julia Brock, we do get emotional at times. We do have that emotional side to us. And I could not help but feeling a sense of emotion when the tributes were being read and songs were being sung, and it is good. And we attribute that all to our Father God, our spiritual Father. Because while we are here as men sitting in the seat receiving the tributes and the honor this morning, we also are sons ourselves. We are fathers that have been fathers to us. So we are sitting receiving the honor, but yet still we're passing on honor to our fathers. There's not a lot of time to go into all of this stuff, so I'm not going to do a lot this morning, but I have to recognize, though, that not everybody, for them today, is a happy Father's Day. We celebrate Father's Day, but it's not a happy Father's Day for everybody at all. And I'm talking, I have a couple of people in my mind right now. We have a young, very young, I'd call her almost like a godchild. Liana, she's 7 years old. There's not a happy Father's Day for her at all. Her father died just at the start of this week. And that young child cried and cried and cried. And so I suppose the honoring, that emotional side of me connected with Liana and what she has been going through. We also have, my wife and I know of family, and Michelle and Michael, their father, was committed to hospice care a couple of days ago, and that family is going through. So as we celebrate and honor others, I do recognize and we pray that others who are not having such the celebration has been impeded by circumstances of life and tragedy, that God the Father would embrace them and wash them this morning. Let me just go read a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I thank you that when you created the heavens and the earth, you had fathers in mind, and you gave responsibilities and charges for us to carry out. God, today, oh God, your children have been just pouring out respect and honor to fathers. But even above us, the earth of fathers, they have been given you honor and glory. Bless our time here this morning, even as you have already blessed it. And so we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I would have gone through and recognized a lot of the things that have been said before, but, you know, I won't, again, for time, I won't get into it. But thank you all for all that you have said, and all of you, the participation, the level of participation in this service. It is always refreshing that when I listen to the messages of that comes from Pastor Henry and Pastor Tiani, it's always refreshing for me to hear the pastors keep emphasizing each week the importance of having your Bibles with you. And of course, today is no different. Make sure you have your Bibles with you. Yes. And I want to add to that as well, that you have a pen and something to write on.
Yes.
Have a pen and the paper to write on. Take notes.
Yes.
A lot of retention is accomplished by hearing and writing. So grab your pen and paper. Wait a while you grab your pen and your paper. And I must say that these are good practices. It's really good practices. Note-taking is good practice. And we find, like I said, we retain stuff. I retain stuff when I see a scripture and I highlight it and then just jot it down on a sheet of paper, a little one of those cards, and keep it, because it helps in the process of writing. It's almost like it's been written not just upon the paper, but upon our brain. It's making an impact upon our brain.
Amen.
This morning we hear the scripture very well read and in such an articulate manner by Sister Doris Henry. And it was from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first 12 verses. The entire book of Deuteronomy is really the fifth book of what we call the Pentateuch, known as the Law of Moses.
Yes.
And Deuteronomy is basically three sermons that Moses preached to the children of Israel. And in this book, Moses, he urged the children of Israel to choose a life of obedience to the law which God has given to them.
Yes.
Because you're writing for this, you're writing, the emphasis is really on a personal relationship, on personal relationship. That's the emphasis of this book. The emphasis on personal relationship in this particular chapter too. And personal relationship, I would say, let's say from three different aspects. A, in terms of personal, a love for God. B, hear him when he speaks. And C, keep or do his word. So the emphasis is on personal relationship. A, to love God. B, hear him when he speaks. And C, keep or do his word. Being obedient to his word. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just going to give you, we're not going to go through all of this, but I'm just going to make some points that is, I think, will capture what I really wanted to say.
Yes.
These 12 verses in Deuteronomy is extremely significant. And today, even as we celebrate Father's Day, I must say that for us to be successful as fathers, we must take these words seriously, take heed to these words, these 12 verses. As a matter of fact, society at large, for society to be at its best, these words must be fully observed. But if it was given to Israel as they were about to enter into the promised land that God gave them, And for them to be successful, they had to fully carry out the word of God. And therefore, on this Father's Day, I am taking us back to that place where we recognize what is the most important tool that will allow us as fathers and as men and even as children of God to be successful in life at everything that we do. One of the instructions that was given to Joshua, Sister Bennett read some part of it earlier, is that it says, this law shall you meditate on day and night so that you may have good success and that you may prosper. Hallelujah. Yes. Somebody say amen.
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 So the word of God is what makes the difference, essentially.
Yes.
So as our society celebrates today, Father's Day, our society identifies like different types of fathers. I'm quickly going to go over some over these. Like, for example, we understand a birth of biological father. We have no problem with that. That's one type of fathering. And then we have what we call a surrogate father, which captures a number of different fathers, elements of fathering. Like, it's a broad category of fatherhood. It's a substitute, really, for a person's biological father. That's a surrogate father who performs its typical maternal function and serves as an object of identification and attachment. Yes. Surrogate fathers mean to such individuals like adoptive fathers,
yes,
and stepfathers and brothers and uncles and teachers and others. Also, yes, we call them father figures.
Yes.
And one of the examples recently we looked at is Mordecai, the uncle of Esther.
Yes, right.
And the scripture says that Esther, she was an orphan, and Mordecai, her uncle, raised her like his own. That being like a surrogate father.
Yes.
And then a third category I wanted to look at a little is the spiritual fathers. Spiritual fathers, the Apostle Paul spoke to the Corinthian church, and he talks about him being their spiritual father in this regard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, he says to them, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel.
Yes.
That's the King James Version.
Yes.
The Message Bible puts it this way. It says, there are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you have done wrong, but there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. So we have Apostle Paul identifying himself as a spiritual father for the Corinthian church. And I like what the Message Bible says, is that, you know what, fathering does take time and effort, a willingness to take the time and the effort to help you grow up. And as our pastors have to spend the time and do spend the time in helping the members grow up. So we have different types of fathers identified in society. We have like godfather and grandfathers as well, and you know, the different fathers figures.
Yes.
But I want to share that fathering is not defined by the task that you do. And let that sink in for a moment. Fathering is not defined by the task that you do. Fathering is of essence. It's not task-related, and I'll explain what I mean by that. But the first criteria for fatherhood is being male, M-A-L-E.
Yes, yes.
That's the first criteria. If you're not a male, you're not a father. You have not qualified to be a father.
Yes.
I know someone might be saying, kind of pulling on me right now. I've seen someone pulling. And that poor person pulling by me say, listen, my mother raised me as father and mother. She was my father and mother.
Yes.
Or somebody might be saying, listen, I'm raising my children as father and mother because there is no physical present father. But and that's why I said the task you do, the fathering is not defined by the task that you do. For example, when you teach a child to tie their shoelace, when you teach, spend time with a child to do their homework, when you spend time with a child to pluck their hair, to comb the ear, yes. When you spend time instructing a child, a male does it and a female does it. Both of them doing the same task. Yet still, it is considered when the man does it, he's fathering. When the male, when the female does it, she's mothering. Same task, different description of what is being done. So that's why I say it's not fathering, it's not task related, but it is one of essence. Meaning, essence really is the inner nature and the substance or attribute of God or His Word. God chose men, male, to be fathers. He poured that as that essence of Him in male to be fathers, and He poured a certain other essence of Him, same God, nature and substance of Him in female to be considered mothering.
Yes.
So the first criteria from fatherhood is being male. And the essence of God's word is His spiritual breath. And so what determines or defines whether it's fathering or mothering is really the intent of the Creator, God Himself.
Yes.
God is intended when these actions close to a male person is considered fathering. When these same actions close to a female person is considered mothering. And so we bless fathers this morning. As the next step, and I'm skipping to go through, the next step of fathering really is that you must take interest in someone, whether it's if you bring forth a biological child or you just take interest in someone and you take on some responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
The title I'm using this morning is Fathers Are Chosen by God and Given Responsibilities. So the second step in fathering is that you must take interest in someone and take on some responsibilities that God gives us. I have a friend of mine who died a couple of years now. He died about almost 90 years old. And at his funeral, his niece, when she was paying tribute to him, and she talked so glowingly of her uncle. He was a deacon. And she's the daughter of a pastor. And his brother was a pastor. And so she was just talking so glowingly of him. Now, she's an adult. She has her own family and all of that stuff. But her father died. She was saying at her father's funeral, that's when her uncle came to her while at the repast, and he said, you know what? I'm going to step into the gap now and do everything that your father, you try to do everything your father used to do for you. So she said to him, you know, one of the things that he used to do for me, every month he used to send me this big fat check. And everybody, both of them just burst out laughing. Because she said, you know, in that moment, she found a way to release some of her grief. And she told her uncle, every month daddy used to send me a big fat check. So you're going to take on the responsibility, he said. All right, I'm looking for my big fat check. But we take on responsibilities as fathers because that's what God gives. And God gives instructions to us as fathers.
Yes.
And again, for time, I just want to identify one thing. in Ephesians chapter 4 when he says, do not exasperate your children to wrath.
Mm-hmm.
In the Amplified, in the King James, it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is important of the word of God that was given in Deuteronomy, and it is applicable to our society, it's applicable now. Mm-hmm. Train them up in the admonition of the Lord. In the Amplified Version, it says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. We as a society, we are raising some angry children today that are lost. Let me repeat that for America. We here in America, we are, as a society, we are raising some angry children that are lost. And we have to get back to that point where we don't provoke children to wrath. It means that we have to teach them how to handle frustration. You don't fight because you have frustration. How to handle disappointments and failures, and teach them hard work and commitment and perseverance. And above all, and the word of God. Teach them how to sacrifice. This is part of what God instructions to us as fathers are. And I'm blessing God. I'm mentioning it, but it's not a discouragement to men or putting down of men. I'm saying that the responsibility is a great one. And most men that I know gladly take it on because they know that we have a father who is able to keep us. And there are so many attributes that were portrayed about us this morning as protector and provider and caring, and how we impart wisdom. We are tender, compassionate, showing mercy. Teachers, we are instructors. We make sacrifices for the cause.
Yes.
We encourage. We are encouragers. We demonstrate humility. And we also, we set the climate for the home. When things are out of line, we are the ones who have to set the climate and the right temperature for that home. Yes. We are responsible for everything that happens.
Yes.
I will start. Meaning, it's not that you are the cause of it, but when something happens, you are responsible for fixing it.
Yes, sir.
That's whether or not we have. Let's use plumbing, for example. If the sink is leaking, it's our responsibility to fix it. We might not have the skill, but it's our responsibility to get somebody to fix it. Somebody say amen. So we're responsible for that. So that's God's instruction to us.
Yes.
And I want to challenge us men, because we have some challenges ahead in our society, and for those who are writing, you have the challenges that I would challenge us men, as I encourage us. My challenge is this, is that as long as you are alive, I want you to be intentional about two things. Number one, be intentional about starting new fathering relationships.
Yes.
Now you're somebody saying, oh, I'm retired. What do you mean you're retired? You may retire from a job.
Yes.
But don't you retire from life.
Yes.
Fathering is living and giving life.
Yes.
So let's be intentional about starting new fathering relationships. We're not too old to find somebody else to start pouring out into. Neither are you too young to start impart and father somebody. Remember, I said the first criteria is being male. The second criteria is showing interest in someone and taking on some responsibility. The second part of the challenge is, let's start raising the bar and the standard of fathering. Fathering is, in our society, has diminished. In some areas, the standard of fathering has has been cut down. It's low because the society is put aside the word of God, like Deuteronomy, for example. So let's raise the standard of fathering. We must make people want to pull from us and crave for the essence of fathering in us, that spirit of fatherhood. Let them begin to crave and want to be fed by that father.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fascinated by the story of the relationship between Elijah and Elisha.
Yes.
And I want to look at it. In 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm just going to read some things and point out a few things as we get ready towards closing. It reads like this. Follow me, please. It says that 2 Kings chapter 2, I'm going to read maybe the first, at most the first 15 verses. And it came to pass, when the Lord take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. I want you to listen to these instructions and this communication or back and forth between Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord God has sent me to Bethel.
Yes.
And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth,
yes,
and as thy soul liveth. This reminds me of Ruth and Naomi. He says, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. He says, I know it, hold your peace. That word, shut up, I know. And then Elijah said on verse 4, said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. That's why he asked him, he says, to leave, you know, stay here. He said, no, I'm following you. There's something in you that is pulling me.
Yes, sir.
There's something in you that we're... I believe there's a destiny locked up in you. My destiny is locked up in you. And so we pray that people crave for this fathering that is in us. That will unlock some destiny. And the sons of, verse 5 now it says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take thy master from thy head today? He answered, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elisha said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me now to Jordan. And he said again, Elisha saying, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they went on. And I want to pause here. Listen to what the prophet is telling. He says, don't you know that the Lord will take away, listen to this word, thy master from thee? So in verse 8, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over to dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let me a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.
Yes.
He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as this, verse 11, as they still went on and talked, but behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and of horses, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Listen to this verse 12. And Elijah said, cried, and he cried, my father, my father. The other prophets were calling him his master. Elijah saw fatherhood in Elijah. And so he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof.
Yes.
So I want us as a challenge for us men is that to let people pray for the spirit of fatherhood that is locked up in us. And begin to create new fathering relationships. I touched on this and I touched on some other stuff. I touched on the fact that how blessed I am to hear people honor and respect their father. Now it's come to a conclusion, but today as we honor our earthly fathers with gifts, there is a gift that we can give to our heavenly father.
Yes.
Somebody bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Yes, there's a gift that we can give to our heavenly father. I want to share this story with you. My father died in February 1971. I hear Sister Phyllis talk so much talk about her father dying when she was 12 years old. My father died in February 1971. You know that more than 30 years after his death, I made a statement about him. I was very quickly rebuked by God for making that statement. I want you to grasp this, please. He died in 71. More than 30 years after his death, I made a stupid statement. Yeah. Someone was just asking about family connections and so on. And so they said, you know, where's your father and so on. And I made a stupid comment. I said, you know what, I don't know, you know, quite far like here, he might be in hell. And the Lord rebuked me. And the Lord says, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long. No, this is about what I thought was a dead man. And yet still the Lord rebuked me for it. And I want you to understand that this was more than honoring my earthly father. It was more about, listen, honoring my heavenly father by obeying his word. Although dead, he's still your father. He's a biological father. And God was not looking at the person or honoring the person. He is honoring his word that says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you and your days may be long. That's what God is honoring. And so when I made that stupid statement, the Lord rebuked me and brought this scripture back to me. I said, honor your father and mother.
Yeah.
So God is about honoring his word. We're talking about Deuteronomy and God. These are the words Moses identifies. These are the word of God that for you to teach. It's about his word. Even though the person is dead, you can cause blessings or curse upon your life by whether you are honoring or dishonoring them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It is about the word of God. It is about the word of God. It's not about the person. And it happens, it's right throughout our society. Learn to honor those who are in authority. Whether they are fathers or sons, mothers, we must learn to honor them.
Yes.
And even right now, you can experience breakthrough in your life. I'm talking to somebody. You can experience breakthrough in your life by repenting for dishonoring your father. And in the process, you are dishonoring God's word. You can experience breakthrough by repenting of that now in the name of Jesus. Because it's about honoring the word of God. Like what the Lord says in Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. Let God say the Lord, the heaven is mine. It's my throne and the earth is my footstool.
Yes.
So where's the house that you have built unto me?
Yes, sir.
Where's the place of my rest? He said, for all those things that mine hand made and all those things have been, say the Lord. But here's what God said. He said, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. That's who God is looking at. It's about the word that is being carried out, how that person honors and respects that word. The Message Bible puts it this way, verse 2, it says, I made all things, I own all things. But there's something I am looking for, a person that is simple and plain reverently responsive to what I say. Church is about following and obeying the word of God. It's about a personal, intimate relationship with the Father, the spiritual Father, and his word.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I don't want any man to leave here today feeling like he is A, alone, or B, feeling like this is too much of a burden. But the Lord says, you know what, my burden, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
Yeah,
I don't want any man to feel here this morning, leave here this morning, like because you're feeling like you're lacking in strength. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't want any man to leave here this morning feel like, you know, I've messed up too much already. There is a thing called redemption. Oh, God works that in the spiritual realm. You and I in the natural doesn't understand that. But God will restore the years that the canker worm has stolen.
Yes, yes.
I don't want any man to leave here this morning feeling rejected and abandoned. He says, when father and mother forsake me, he says, I will take you in.
Amen.
The Lord has chosen us as men to be priests, prophets, and kings of our homes. The priest is the one who goes before God the Father and prays and teaches out the children how to pray and make intercession for his family. The prophet speaks a word and decrees something over their lives and speak life into the situation, and speak life into the home, and speak life into the children.
Yes, sir.
He says we are prophet, priest, and king. Notice that kings govern with a queen, and the king raises prince and princesses in the name of Jesus. The king does not, you're not raising idiots and stupid children, as people would call them, and you're not raising rebels. You are the prophet of the home. Let's speak into their lives. The scripture says that the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Yes.
So as prophet of the home, speak into their lives. Every situation that is a concern on earth is a concern for God. Every situation that is out of whack can be dealt with in the spiritual realm. Let's speak over their lives.
Yes.
So I bless you this morning, Father. My time is up. I bless you this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you. So those are the challenges and those are the concerns, but I'm not going to leave you high and dry this morning, but I'm going to speak into the blessings of the prayer of blessings to the Father. I'm going to pray the priest of blessing over every father and over everyone that is present here this morning. That's what we find in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22 and 26, and we know this well. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee.
Yes.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. So I say, peace unto you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
There is hope. There's hope for the spiritual fathering, the standards to be raised in our society. And those of us who are in the place with God, we must learn to raise that standard. And I say, arise, let's arise in the name of Jesus. Let's take it to a higher level, a higher dimension in the name of Jesus. Let's not let me like the Apostle Paul, that we're not concerned about the things that are behind us, but we are pressing towards the mark for the high price of the call of God in the name of Jesus. Men arise in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Be priest, be prophet, and be king. May the Lord bless you this morning. And God will give you thanks and we give you praises in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.